Okay, today's daf is Chulin daf Samach Beis. We left off on the last three words of the page on daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, and we're going to continue to discuss birds today, a number of different issues relating to birds. First of all, we're going to talk about if an unknown bird presents itself and it has one Siman Tahara or two Simani Tahara, when can you assume that it's kosher, when can you assume that it's not kosher, what other knowledge do you have to have in order to assume that it's kosher. Then we're going to talk about which particular bird they would use for the Taras HaMetzora, for the process of being Metara Metzora. And then we're going to talk about the two birds that are always identified in the Torah as being able to be used as a korban, Torim u'Bnei Yonah. We're going to identify what are Torim, what are Bnei Yonah, and whether other similar species are in the category of Tor or of Ben Yonah. And that's going to lead us a little bit into a conversation of Shem Levi, that if something has the same name as it's called in the Torah, but it also has a qualifier. It's it's not just called by that name, it's called by that name plus something else. So do we consider it to be part of that category or not? And then the Gemara is going to talk about whether certain types of chagavim and certain types of birds are kosher. We're going to get into detail about very specific types of birds and whether they're kosher or not. But we're going to see it's very nogea lemaisa in terms of this is where, and this daf is where the Rashi comes up that tells us that there's a requirement of a mesora before we're machshir any bird, and that obviously is very relevant lemaisa in terms of the kashrus of turkey. So anyway, so the Gemara begins daf Samach Aleph and Beis, last three words of the page. Amar Rav Nachman, Hayabaki Behen Uvish Mosehen. If you have a person who knows the what is a Peres and an Aznia, and he also knows which Ophos are called Peres Vaznia, even though they're not exactly like the original Peres Vaznia, so if you know those things, then Of Habab Simenecha Tohar. If an Of comes and it has only one Simitara, you can assume that it's Kasher, as long as you know that it's not similar to Peres and Aznia, and it's also not one of those birds that whose name is Peres o Aznia. And the reason for this halacha is based on what the Gemara said in yesterday's daf, that the Chum Ben Mesora, that among all the Ophos Tameim, only Peres and Aznia have one Siman Tahara. All the other Ophos that are not kosher either have no Simanei Tahara, or have, that's only one, the Nesher, or have two or three Simanei Tahara. So since a person finds a bird and he knows that the Peres and Aznia, he knows which ones have only one Simanei Tahara, and he knows that this isn't that, so it must be that this is not one of the Ophos that's Mayim, this is therefore kosher. Lo hayabaki b'hanu b'shmoseyan, but if he doesn't know the Peres and Aznia, or he doesn't know which Ophos are called Peres Vaznia, so then b'simen echad tamei, if the bird presents with one Siman Tahara, you have to assume it's not kosher, because it might be the Peres Vaznia, and if it's Peres Vaznia, then it's not going to be kosher. So b'shnei simanim, similarly, if you have a bird that comes that has two Simanei Tahara, Tahar, v'husha yakir orev. That's also kosher, provided that you would recognize what's an orev, because it can't be that maybe it's a nesher, because a nesher doesn't have any Simanei Tahara. This bird has two Simanei Tahara. It can't be it's a Peres and Aznia, because Peres and Aznia have only one Simanei Tahara. This bird has two Simanei Tahara, and it can't be any of the other birds, because all the other birds have three Simanei Tahara, and this bird has only two. So if you find such a bird, and you know what an orev is, and you know that this isn't an orev, and it's not called an orev either, it's not shmo orev, so then you know that it's not one of the ofos atzmeim, and it's kosher. So, frankly, Gemara, orev v'sulo, is that enough information? A person only needs to know what an orev is, he doesn't need to know other types of birds. Vatanya, but we have a brisa that darshan's pasuk, and the pasuk says, es kol orev limino, the brisa darshan's orev ze orev. When it says it's called orev, that's a reference to the actual bird that's called an orev. Limino, Rebbe Lezer Omer Lahavias Zarzir. That limino tells us that a zarzir is also a non-kosher type of bird because it is a min of orev. So both the zarzir and the orev have two simanei tahara, and they live near the orvim, so they're similar to an orev. Amru lo l'Rabbi Eliezer, the Chum said to Rabbi Eliezer, how could you say that the zarzir is aser ba'achila? V'lo anshei kfar tamarta shebi Yehuda ayo ochlo bosan. The people of kfar tamarta in Yehuda eat a zarzir. So how can you say that it's asr b'achila? And the reason they eat it is because it has a zefek, which, as we said, is the first little pouch after the veshet that digests the food. Amalehen, so Rav Elazar said back to them, af heinasid li tenas adin. You think these anshei kfar tamarta shebi Yehuda are doing the right thing? No, they're going to be punished for this, for eating this min orev. Even though it has two simani tara that are different than the simani tara of an orev, nevertheless, it's still called a min orev, because it is, the way Rashi explains, because it's shochein together with the orev. Rashi and Tosfos understand that even though it doesn't even share the same exact simani tara as an orev, but it's still an orev because it lives amongst the orvin. The Rivam says that really an orev has a zefek as well, and the Anshei Kfar Tamarta did not prove from the fact that it has zefek that it's not an orev. Meaning, what was the machlok? A simple reading of the Gemara is that they would eat it because mipnei sheyesh lan zefek. This has a zefek, whereas an orev doesn't. And the response is, it's still a min orev, even though it doesn't share the same simanei tahara as an orev. The Rivam says, no, an orev has a zefek also. They weren't trying to show that it has a zefek, and therefore it's not an orev. But they knew that it wasn't an orev, so they ate it al smach, the two simanei tahara, that it's not doreis, and that it has a zefek. The Anshei Kfar Tamarta didn't require that it not be Doris, because it was Pashut that if they ate the Zarzir, then it's not Doris, because every Of HaDoris is Tameh. So the Tosos further explains that the Machlokes between Rav Elazar and the Rabbanan is that the Zefek of the Zarzar is a very small Zefek. So maybe that's what they're arguing about. Is this halachically qualify as a Zefek? Is there a minimum size that you need for a Zefek? The Ravid in a Tshuva says that a Zarzir has only one simon, and that is that it has a Zefek, whereas an Orev has two simanim. So Rav Elazar holds that since the number of simanim are not like the same number of simanim that an orev has, nevertheless it could still be called a min orev because it lives amongst the orvim. Whereas the Chachamim hold it's not a min orev because they don't even have the same number of simanei tahara that an orev has. It's interesting. This place, Kfar Tamarta, later on in later generations, it's pointed out. The Medrash point that later generations became a place where very holy Amor Rayim lived. Rabbi Shila Ish Kfar Tamarta was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, comes up in Maseches Megillah. Rabbi Yaakov Ish Kfar Tamarta comes up in the Medrash. So we do find that that later on Talmidei Chacham lived there, but there was some debate, you know, whether the people initially who inhabited that place could be trusted at all. Maybe they were reading this thing that wasn't kosher. Dover Acher, another interpretation of Liminehu. What's the pasuk adding when it says Liminehu? Lahavi Sununis Levana, a certain type of orev that's called the Sununis Levana that's not kosher. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. So Amrulo, the Chachamim said to Rabbi Eliezer, how could you say that the Sununis Levana is not kosher? Valo Anshei Galil HaElyon Ochlim Oso, Mirveshe Korkovano Niklaf. It has the simintara of Korkovano Niklaf, and the people of Galil HaElyon therefore eat it. So Amrulahem, Af Heinat Asidin Litein Asidin. Rabbi Eliezer says, you think they're doing right? They're going to be Asidin. The litein asadin for eating this bird, but what you see from all of this is that min orev has two simanei tara as well, just like an orev has. So it's a kasha on Rav Nachman, who said that if you find a bird that has two simanei tara, as long as you know what an orev is, you have nothing to be worried about. You could eat the bird that you found. But don't we have this din of liminehu that you need that there is something similar to an orev that also has two simanei tara, that also is not kosher, that has the status of an orev? So how we're asking based on this brisa on Rav Nachman, how can you say that if a bird presents with two simanei tara, and as long as you know that it's not an orev, it's kosher? Maybe it's part of the min orev, even though it's not an orev. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. The Rashi writes that the kasha is not really from the brisa. The brisa just says that Rabbi Elazar holds that there's a min orev. La halacha we pass like the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Elazar and hold that a zarzir and a sununus levan are actually kosher, and the people in these places that ate these things were not in violation of any halacha. So we wouldn't be asking from the Braisa if we paskin that the examples given in the Braisa are not a problem at all. The real kasha is from the pasuk. Pasuk says it's kolorev limino. So it's beferish in the Torah that there's something else. Maybe it's not the zarzir. Maybe it's not this thing with the white belly. Maybe it's not any of these birds. But there is something. There's something that's limino of an orev, and that's what we're really asking from. It's just that we use the brisa as sort of a demonstration of seeing that, you know, that certain tanaim have identified specific birds as being the limino, but everyone agrees that there is some sort of limino. So how could it be that if you just recognize that the bird that's presented to you is not an orev, that it's going to be kosher enough? No, ela orev v'kol min orev. What Rav Nachman meant to say is that if you find a bird that has two simanei tara, and you know what an orev, and you know what every min orev is, then you could eat that bird, because then you know that it's not one of the tamei birds. But of course, you do have to know what the min orev is as well. Amar Amemar, Hilchasa, Ov Haba B'Simen Echad, Tohar. Halacha is, an Ov comes with one Simen Tara, it is kosher, even if you don't know what the Peres and Aznia are, even if you're not able to identify the non-kosher birds that have one Simen Tara, V'hud Lo Doris. But that's only if this bird is not Doris. Then you could make the assumption that it's a kosher bird. But if you see that it's Doris, even though it has one Simen Tara, then it's going to be a non-kosher, then it's going to be assumed to be a non-kosher bird. That's how Rashi understands. Tosfos raises the question, then, wait a second, if it's not Doris, and it has one simanitara, that means it has two simanitara, because of the four simanitara, not being Doris is one of them. So you have to be choshesh that maybe it's an orev then, right? So what are we talking about over here? So the Ran explains that we know that there's no min orev that's not Doris. So if you find two simanitara, and one of them is that it's not Doris, then it's neither an orev nor limino, because the min orev, one of the qualities of a min orev, whatever else it has, but one of the qualities is that it's always Doris. Tosus also asked that it sounds like the whole heter is because we're talking about a place we're about to see in the Gemara, we're talking about a place where Peres and Aznia are not commonly found, right? Meaning we're saying that you don't have to worry about this oaf that comes with Simen Echad, even if you don't know what a Peres and Aznia look like, because where you are, the Peres and Aznia don't live. That's what the Gemara is about to say. So, but a place where Peres and Aznia are found, we never would have been matir this bird. But why, asks Tosos, this bird doesn't have one Simen Tara, it has two Simanei Tara, because we said in addition to the Simen Tara, it's not Doris. It has a Simen Tara Beguf, and it's also not Doris. So it's definitely not the Peres and Aznia, which have only one Simen Tara. So the Marsha, the Maram Shiv, say that the fact that we're machzikit b'cheska sheino Doris is because the Peres and Aznia are not commonly found there. But if it was a place where Peres and Aznia were commonly found, we'd have to be choshish that maybe it is Doris. Meaning we'll see later in the daf that being whether an oaf is Doris or not is not always immediately recognizable. Sometimes you look at a bird and the way it's eating, it seems very normal. It doesn't seem like it's being Doris, but then you continue, and over time, you'll see every once in a while, it will be Doris, meaning there will be, so it's over here, it's not a question that you know for sure that it's never Doris, it's that it doesn't seem to be Doris. So that's the situation over here. So I'm Rav Ashi la Meimar. So Rav Ashi says, Sameimar, you're trying to say, as a Dover Pasha, that an oaf that has only one Simen Tara is kosher, and you don't have to know what a Peres and Aznia is. Hadar Rav Nachman Mai, but Rav Nachman says that you cannot be matir an oaf that has only one Simen Tara unless you know what a Peres and Aznia and anything that's called Peres and Aznia are. And if you don't know, if you're not familiar with those types of birds, so then you cannot assume that it's kosher. So do we have to be choshish for Rav Nachman or not? Amar Lei Lo Shmieli. So Amemar says Rav Ashi, I never heard of Rav Nachman's shita. Kolomar lo svirli, meaning of course I heard of it. I disagree with Rav Nachman. I don't think you have to be choshesh that this might be the Peres and Aznia. My ika mishum Peres Aznia, because what's his big chashash that maybe the bird is a Peres and Aznia, and that's why it's not kosher, even though it has a Simen Tara, it has a single Simen Tara. Lasnu biyishuv. Everyone knows Peres and Aznia are only out in the midbaros. They're not in the yishuv. So you live in a yeshuv, you live in a populated area, so it's unlikely, it's impossible actually, that the bird you're going to find with one Simen Tara is a Peres Vaznia, and therefore I don't think you need to know what a Peres Vaznia is, because you know where you live, and you know that the Peres Vaznia doesn't live where you live. Okay, period. That's the end of that discussion. Now the Gemara is going to discuss identifying the bird that's used for the Torah process of Mitzvah. The Torah tells us that V'tziva HaKohen V'lokach L'mitaher Shtei Tziparim Chayos Tzahoros, that you take Shtei Tziparim Chayos Tzahoros and an Eitz Erez and Shni Talas and Ezov. So the Mishnah in the 14th paragraph of Masechet Nedarim says that the Tzipor has to be a Tzipor Dror. So when they bring the Tzipor for Taras HaMitzvah, they have to make sure that it's whether it's a min tahor or not, because the Torah says tahoros, and we also have to identify that it's particularly the right min called a tzipor dror. So you have to identify it as a kosher bird, and you have to identify it as that particular min. So I'm reviewing the of hamisaret. If you have a bird that is misaret, that scratches, that tears open flesh, kosher l'taras hamitzora, that's the tzipor the Torah was talking about for taras hamitzora, v'zuhi sinunis levana shenechukov ha-ravlasa v'chamim. And it happens to be the previous sugya, we just had a certain type of bird that was a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, whether it's kosher or not, where Rabbi Elazar says it's a min orev and it's not kosher, and the Chacham said, nah, it's fine, it's kosher ba'achila. So that is this bird that they use for the process of the taras hamitzora. That's how Rashi and Tosfos say. The Kesef Mishnah writes in the first paragraph of Tzmachal Sasuros that the previous price actually was not a machlokas Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Adra, the Lashon Asidim Litein Asadin shows that no one disagrees. But it's even though Rabbi Elazar holds that no one disagrees, our Gemara is saying that we have another Mesorah of other Chachamim that do disagree. Okay, but the Gemara now discusses what Sanunis is subject to this machlokas. There's a certain type of bird called the Sanunis that's subject to this machlokas, whether it's kosher or not. So which kind of sanunis? Amar Amemar, b'chivara kresa, if its stomach is white, kuliyam lo pligi d'shayri, that's for sure kosher. Ki pligi b'diyuroka kresa, the whole machlokas is if its stomach is a yellowish-greenish. Rabbi Elazar asar, v'rabbanan sharu, that's what Rabbi Elazar says asar, and the Rabbanan say it's mutar, v'hilchsak Rabbi Eliezer. We pass on Rabbi Elazar that min that has a green-yellow stomach is asar ba'achila, that you're not allowed to eat it. So it turns out that a Meimar disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, who said that you're supposed to use it for Taras HaMetzora, because if it's not a kosher bird, you can't use it for Taras HaMetzora. The Pasuk says, Tahoros. So to say, Hilchasa Karabi Eliezer is saying that Hilchasa, that you cannot use it for Taras HaMetzora. Marzutra Masiyachi, Marzutra learned the din of a Meimar as follows. Then now, if its stomach was yarok, then everyone agrees that it will be asu. Ki pligi b'dchivara kresa. The whole machlokas is only if it has a white stomach. Rabbi Eliezer asav rabbanan sharu vilsak rabbanan d'sharu. And Allah follows the rabbanan that it's mutter when it has a white stomach. So bishlam mandyam b'dchivara kresa pligi. If you're going to say that the whole machlokas is only when it has a white stomach, but if it has a green stomach or a yellow stomach, then it's for sure going to be asur. Hainu d'ktani zui sinunas levana. I understand why the brisa says that lemino, that it says by an ore, is the snunis levana, and that's why it's called snunis levana, because it has a white stomach, and that is the subject of the machlokas. Elmanim yiroka pligi, but if you say the whole machlokas tanaim is only when it has a yorok stomach, my zuhi snunis levana. How could the brisa say that the bird that they're arguing about is called the snunis levana? What an odd name to call a bird that has a yorok stomach. Why would you call it a snunis levana? That makes no sense. Says no, it's to distinguish it from those that live in the walls of houses that are black, meaning it's white in that it's not black, meaning insofar as white is the opposite of black, and this isn't black, so they call it white as a nickname, even though it's not actually white, it's just not black. So that's how they got the name, Sinunis Levana. Unusual, but that's what we assume. And in our neighborhood, it's easy, right? We have shuls. We have the white shul that's not white. We have the red shul that's not red. So we're used to these identifying marks that are not identifying marks at all. Okay, so the Torah, next sugi, the Torah tells us that Vimina of Ola Karbonola Hashem Vikriv Mina Torim So the Medrash learns that you're allowed to bring on the Mizbeach only two types of birds, Torim and Bnei Yona. Every other bird is asur to bring as a Karban. So we had a Gemara earlier that you're only allowed to bring Torim that are already more mature, that are already larger. That's why they're not called Bnei Torim. They're called Torim. And Bnei Yona you're only allowed to bring when they're very young. You're not allowed to bring small Torim or large Yonim on the Mizbeach. So each min that you want to bring on the Mizbeach, first you have to identify whether it fits into the category of Torim or Bnei Yonah at all, but then you have to identify which category it fits into, because if it fits into the category of Torim, you can only bring it big, not small. If it fits into the category of Bnei Yonah, of Yonah, you can only bring it small and not big. So Amar Rechava, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Tassil, a certain type of Yonah that's called the Tassil, Pasul Mishum Torim. You're not allowed to bring it when it's big on the Mizbeach, because it's not of the min of Torim, it's a min of Yonah. V'kashim Mishum Bnei Yonah. But you're allowed to bring it when it's small, because it's in the category of Yonah. Datsifi, a certain type of Tor, V'torin Shal Rechava, and the Torim of Rechava, Ksherin. You're allowed to bring on the Mizbeach Mishum Torin, but only when they're large, only B'toras Torin, you're allowed to bring them on the Mizbeach. But a Psulim Mishum Bnei Yonah, they're possible to be brought when they're small as Bnei Yonah, because they're not in the category of Bnei Yonah. Must Rav Daniel Barav Katina? So Rav Daniel Barav Katina asked, based on the Mishnah in Parah, Kola Ofos Polsim B'Mechatos, that all birds passel the Mechatos, which is the water that's mixed with the ashes for the Paraduma, the ashes of the Paraduma for being Metaher, someone's Tamim Meis, meaning that if these birds drink from that water, it passels the water, and the assumption is because they suck up the water with their beak, and then when they pick up their mouth and they swallow the water, when they pick up their heads and they swallow the water, some of the water goes back into the kli. So there's like a backwash. So since that's the way they do it, and the way Rashi understands, that's considered that malacha was done with the water, and you can't have malacha done with the mechatas. It's apostles a mechatas to have malacha done with the mechatas. Tosfos raises the question, and it's not mistaken, that's called malacha. It's just drinking. That's not called malacha. And Rashi and Daftesan Beis had a different pshat, that since the water is drawn into the bird's mouth, it's mayim she'uvim, and it's not called mayim chayim anymore. And that's what Rabbeinu Gershom understands as well. Tosfos back on Daftesan Beis says that if we're talking about before Kiddush, before it's been mixed with the Efer Parah, the psul is because it's not Mayim Chayim. If it's La'achar Kiddush, the psul is that the Rok Shebepiyam is Misariv B'Mayim, that the saliva from the bird's mouth gets mixed in with the water. Okay, but any of these birds that drink out of the Mechatos will pass the Mechatos Chutz Min Ayona, except for Ayona, Mnei Shemot Tzetes. Because Ayona sucks up the water and swallows it right away, and none of it goes, there's no backwash. None of it goes back into where it came from. So therefore it remains pristine. The Imisa, but if Rabbi Yehuda is correct, that a Tassil is also a Min Yona, why does the Brisa say only Chutz Min Ayona? Listen, Chutz Min Ayona Vitassil. It should say except for Ayona and a Tassil, because the Tassil is a type of Yonah, so it's Mistavra that it's also Motzeitz and will not passel the Mechatos when it drinks the Mechatos. Now the Yehuda asks the question that a Tassil is a Min Yonah, so the Tana says Yonah doesn't passel, so shouldn't it be understood that a Tassil is not does not passel? So now the Yehuda writes in Shuvah Madura Tinyani or Deisim Kuf Mem Gimel that you have to say the Gemara's Kasha is, since it has its own shame, why didn't the Tana say Beferish Hayonah V'Tassil, meaning it true it's in the halachic category of a Yonah, but no one talks that way, meaning a tassil is called a different type of bird, so it should have been mentioned. Okay, so the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Zeira, ze motzeitz umeki, ze motzeitz ve'eno meki. Even though the tassil is motzeitz, because it is a min Yonah, it still doesn't drink exactly like a Yonah. The tassil is motzeitz, but then spits it out. Back into the water. So the mayim that it spits out passels the mechatos. The yona is motzeitz, but it's eino meki. It doesn't spit anything back out into the water. So the Yehuda asks, based on what he just said, that the kasha of the Gemara was, why doesn't it say beferish the tassil, even though it's a min yona, to not give us any room to make a mistake? How could the Gemara answer that the tassil passels the mechatos and that's why it's not mentioned. According to that, Kol Shekein, that the Tana should have mentioned it, so that you shouldn't make a mistake and say that a Tassel is a Minyona, and therefore it's Bechal Yona, meaning that's all the more reason. If a Tassel is actually going to Passel, it's all the more reason that it should have been mentioned explicitly. So the Nadav Yehuda writes, so you have to say when the Tana says that that all Ofos Passel except for a Yona, it doesn't mean that all that they all Passel and all Mine Yona do not Passel. No, it meant except for the Yona itself, just the Yona. There is a significant discussion in Poskim to what extent we assume someone, some animal drinking out of water will passel the water for other things. What about for Netilas Yadayim? Do you assume that if an animal drank out of water, that it's going to be possible for Netilas Yadayim? The Trumas HaDeshen discusses if Tarnagolim drink from water, whether you're allowed to use it for Netilas Yadayim. And he says, based on Rashi in our sugya, that the reason of the Psul of Mechatas that the Ophos drank from is because it's as if Nasus Be'a Malacha, that the drinking of the birds is considered that the Malacha was done with the water. By Netilas Yadayim also, it should be considered Nasus Be'a Malacha. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that Malacha passels Mayim for Netilas Yadayim in Orchaim Simon Kuf Samach. So that's what Shumas Deshan writes. Now, according to Tosfos, the Tarnagol, drinking the Tarnagol will not passel, because Tosfos asked on Rashi, what kind of Malacha is this? So Tosfos says, no, the Psul is for some other reason that's unique to Mechatas, and has nothing to do with Netilas Yadayim. So it sounds like it would not passel for Netilas Yadayim. So that led to a whole discussion in the Poskim. The Beis Yosef and the Marshal disagree with the Trumas Deshan, and they think that even according to Rashi, the Shtia is not going to be considered a Malacha as far as Netilas Yadayim is concerned. Meaning everyone has to agree that an animal drinking out of something is not classically what you would call Malacha being done with that water. The question is just how sensitive Mechatas is. That Mechatas, the definition of Malacha, may be such a such a small threshold of what we consider Malacha, that for Mechatas we're particularly sensitive. But for Netilas Yadayim, this is not going to be called Malacha, says the Beis Yosef. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch writes that Mayim, that Tarnagolim drank from, or even that dogs licked from, there are those that passel. But says Shulchan Aruch, vein dvar nirin. I don't think that that's correct. I think that it's not going to be a psul. There's also an interesting discussion because this Mishnah Maseches Para tells us that when the bird drinks from it, so what happens? Some of the water that's in its mouth is polite, comes back out. So Mechatas that it drinks from is going to be possible. What about when it eats? I mean, this is about drinking. What about when an animal eats? Do we also assume that some of the food that an animal's eating will come back out into the food, into the rest of the food? So that's Machlokas Achronim, by whether that happens by Achila as well, whether we assume that there's a plate from the mouth by Achila. The Bach and many other Achronim say that there's a tzad to say that it's Dafka B'shtia that happens, because water is liquid, and it's more likely to drip. But Achila, whatever solid it puts in its mouth, is going to stay in its mouth. But the Bach has it as a suffix. In the Tshuva's Big Day Yesha, he writes an opposite svara, that Metzitza is only by Mashkin and not by Ochun. Mashkin, you could be motzeitz right away to the Beis Ablia. You can suck it right in and it will go into the Beis Ablia. But food, you need to chew on first. Food stays in the mouth a little bit. So that gives it more time to fall out of the mouth and more time to be wrong. Okay, who cares? I mean, with my nafkamina, whether food falls out of an animal's mouth or not. So they used to have, you know, with our hygienic conditions, it's hard to relate to this. But they used to have a concern. They'd have bags of flour, and they'd come to the bag of flour, and they'd see that mice had pecked their way, had nibbled their way through the bags of flour. Now they want to know, can they use those bags of flour for matzah and Pesach? So we would see such a bag of flour, Baruch Hashem, in our condition in America in the 21st century, we just chuck the whole thing, or a mouse eating from my... they would have to use it. They couldn't afford it. They would have to use it. So do you have to be choshish for chimutz? Because maybe part of the flour went into the mouse's mouth, and some of the mouse's saliva came out with that flour, and maybe there's a little bit of chimutz in that flour. So that was the discussion that the Achronim had, that they were that they weren't sure, that maybe you have to be choshesh for chimutz based on this issue. The Bach paskens halacha that the flour that's in the bag that they ate from, if it's before Pesach, you have to sift out the kemach. and if there are certain dry pirure isa, you throw it out, and the kemach you could keep around till after Pesach. Meaning he distinguishes between making challah from it, making matzah from it. I think some of the achronim distinguish between making matzah from it, which they do not allow, and just having it around the house on Pesach, because the whole thing is only a chashash. So maybe as far as just keeping it around, you don't have to be choshesh. But as far as eating, we'd be a little more machmir. Okay, back in the Gemara now. Amar of Yehuda, hani kufshani tzutzaini, certain type of torin that come from a place called tzutzaini, ksherim legabim mizbech, behein hein, torin shel rechava. They're kosher to use on the mizbech, and they are the torin shel rechava. So meisvei, they ask on Rabbi Yehuda, it says in the Braisa, that the pasuk says in a number of places, ezov, so we learn that wherever it says ezov, it always has to be a min, a type of wood that's called ezov, and it's only called ezov. But it can't have any other name, velo ezov yon, velo ezov Kochali, v'lo ezov romi, v'lo midbari, v'lo kol ezov shiyosho shem levai. Any ezov that's called by any other name, any other qualifier, is not going to be called ezov. So you see, even though they're all mine ezov, but if they're not called just ezov stam, they're called the sam shem levai, they're pasul, because the Torah says ezov. So it's makbid to only use what's called just ezov. So if that's true, shouldn't the same thing be true of torim, that the Torah says use torim of bnei yona on the mizbeach? So only that which is called torim stam is kosher, but something that's called torim tzutzaini, why should that be kosher? That's a shem levai. That shouldn't that passel it? So Rabbi says a klal kol shenishtana shmo kodem matan Torah. Anytime the Shem Levi already existed before Matan Torah, even before Matan Torah, there was such a thing as an Ezov Yavan, and the Ezov Yavan was not called just an Ezov. And yet, when the Torah was written, Vikpita Torah Alav, the Torah said, no, only use Ezov, don't use any of these qualifiers. So Yeshel Shem Levi, apostle. Then you know the Torah is saying, only use Ezov, don't use anything with the Shem Levi. But Vahani, when it comes to these Torim, Lonushtan Shimon called the Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, they weren't called by any of these other names. So it was only called Torim. So when the Torah says use Torim, this actually did qualify. It was only later that we added a Shem Levi to it. Rava Amar, Hani Kufshani Tzutzaini. These Torim that are called Kufshani Tzutzaini, Ba'asrayu Stamakarilu. He gives another answer. He says, forget about the fact that Kodem Matan Torah didn't have a Shem Levi. Right now it doesn't have a Shem Levi in the place that they're indigenous to. So if you go to the place where they're from, they don't call them the Tzutzaini Torim, because they live in Tzutzaini. I mean, they call them just regular Torim in the place that they live. So it's not called that it has a Shem Levi. Now, Amar of Yehuda, Hani Kraze, certain types of chagavim, of grasshoppers, the bechilfi, that are found amongst the thorns, sharu, you're allowed to eat. Udbe kravi asiri, but if you find them, machlokas in the Rishonim, exactly what this means, but if you find them in cabbage, let's say, such grasshoppers are not kosher to eat. Amar avina umalkin alayim mishum sharet ha'of. You actually chayv malkus for it, for eating a sharet ha'of. V'yamar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says further, Tzrada Shari, a certain type of bird called the Tzrada, is mutter to eat. Barda Asir, another type of bird called the Barda, is Asir. And the way to remember that, V'simaneich, the way to remember not to get confused between the Tzrada and the Barda, Barmine Marda Sveka, this min we should get rid of, this min is called Marda, there's a suffix whether it's a min Tahar or it's a min Tameh. So Amar Rav Asi, Shmona Sveiko, saying there are eight types of birds that are a suffix, whether they're a mintar or a mintame. And they are Chuva, Chuga, Suga, Vaharnuga, Tushlami, Umarda, Kuchilna, Ubarnafcha. So Maisvekaihu, what exactly are we unsure about them, you know, in terms of why are they a suffix? So the Gemara explains, Ofos Tahorim, Kurkvanan Niklaf, one of the simanitara of a bird, and we said if a bird presents with one simantara and only one simantara, then it's going to be assumed to be kosher, as long as you're familiar with the tame birds that have one simantara. So if it has just Kurkvanan Niklaf, Utmein ain't Kurkvan Niklev. A non-kosher bird will not have any simanitara, will not have Kurkvan Niklev. Vahani Kurkvan Niklev besakina. But these birds have, you're able to peel the Kurkvan, but only with a knife, not biyad. So these birds, sorry, I said wrong. These birds have all the three other simanei tara as well, but it's a suffix whether it has this fourth siman tara of korkovan and niklav. So if the fact that you could be makluf the korkovan with a sakin counts as korkovan and niklav, so then it has all four simanei tara. And remember, the rule is if something has none of the simanei tara, you don't have to check any lists. It's not kosher. If something has all of the simanei tara, you don't have to check any lists. It's kosher, right? So this might have all of the simanei tara. But if the fact that it's only peeled with a sakin and not piyad puts it in the category of something that's ein korkovan and niklav, then it only has three simanei tara. So then it's a suffik tameh, because until you're able to identify all other 20 birds on the list that have three simanei tara and are in fact not kosher, so you'd have to worry about that maybe this is one of those 20. Vayhibar avza dahavabei Mar Shmuel. There was a Bar Avza that was a certain type of goose that was by Mar Shmuel. Delava kamiklav korkavane. They couldn't peel the korkavan. Va'osvei b'shimshon. Mar Shmuel put it in the sun. V'kivin derafi iklav. And once it dried out a little bit in the sun, it peeled right off. So don't you see from there that even if the korkavan is not easily niklav, it could still be kasher. Now hasam kirafi iklav biyada. Hacha afal gav derafi lo miklav el b'sakina. In other words, over there, even once it dried out in the sun a little bit, you were able to be kalif biyad. But we're talking about something that you could never do by hand. You're always going to need a sakin, and that's the suffix. Amar Abayi, Tarnagola da'agma, chad mishmona sfekos hu vahenu mardu. The Tarnagola da'agma is one of the eight sfekos, and that's the min that we called a mardu before. Amar Papa, Tarnagola da'agma asira, Tarnagolta da'agma sharia. The male tarnagol of the da'agma is not kosher. The female one is kosher. V'simaneich, and the easy way to remember that is amoni v'lo amonis. The Torah says lo yava amoni b'kal Hashem. So we darshin, yeah, but an amonis is allowed to be yava b'kal Hashem. So too with the simanei tuma, with the tuma of these birds. The male one is the one that we distance, but the female one is okay. Darish Maremar, Tarnagolta da'agma asira. The Tarnagolta da'agma is asr to eat, even though initially they assumed it was kosher. They later asked it. Why? Chazua de darsava achla. They later observed that it was dores. And once they observed that, they realized that it's not kosher. Vahainu gerusa. And that's what they call a gerusa. So Tosus explains that it doesn't have any simanei tara other than the fact that it wasn't dores. So they were matir because it had a simen echad. They were not choshesh that it was the peres or aznia, because it wasn't found bi yishuv and peres because it was bi yishuv and peres vaznia are not found bi yishuv, or because they knew that it clearly wasn't of the min of peres vaznia, but now they see that it doesn't have any simani tara at all. That's how Tosos explains. Now Rashi says, since we're not bekiyim in which type of ofos or what, even an oaf that you're bodek and you see that it's not dores, you have to be choshish that maybe it is dores. And it says Raya from this Gemara. Here you had a tarnagolta da'agma. They assumed that it was kosher. Later on they saw that it's not dores. So therefore, says Rashi, an oaf can only be eaten with a mesorah shemasra lavosenu shutar. You need to have a mesorah from our forefathers that it's in fact kosher. Like the Gemara says, an oaf is nechal b'mesorahs. We're going to see on the Tamara's daf some chimum base, but an oaf that we don't have a mesorah on, we have to be choshish that it's tameh. And that is the entire discussion that you have about the kashrus of turkey. People came to North America and they found these birds that are similar to other kosher birds but are clearly not the same. And the Ramah Paskins and Shulchan Aruch in Yaradea like this Rashi, that you're not allowed to eat any bird that doesn't have a mesorah to it. So in the Tshuvas Ha'elef HaShlomo, Rav Shlomo Kluger in Yaradea, Simon Kupyud Beis was asked about eating turkey. And he says, it's asur, there's no mesoras on the turkey. I, the matirim, write that there was a ksav from America that they have a mesoras. He says, hevel yiftzapiyam. They're speaking nonsense. Shulchan Aruch, in Shulchan Aruch, there are deos that asur, for people in one place that don't have a mesorah to be somech on people in another place, so we shouldn't be somech on the people in America. And even those who are matir, that's only a pia mesorah where it was miyushav be Yisrael, meaning that yeah, there's a mesorah in a place where there was a Jewish yeshuv the whole time. Who lived in America? And he said, yeah, you need to have people from the times of the Shas and Gaonim to be able to present the mesorah. The fact that 100 years ago some people were fleeing from their debts or whatever and ended up in America, that's
doesn't, those were a bunch of lowlives. Those weren't Gaonim and Rishonim and whatever. So he says, absolutely not. You can't rely on any such Mesora. So the Netziv writes in Meshav Davar that once it's Nispashe Tetero, that becomes a Mesora. It's a great Chiddush. That you can create a Mesora just by the fact that people started doing it. So once the Jewish community did it, now the Jewish community has a Mesora. That it's like the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael gets to determine what is and is not a Mitzvah. Amarav, there's more to say, but with Amarav, Shavar Andarpita Shari, Pirus Andarpita Aser, two different types of birds that have similar names, Vesimenech, and the way to remember, Pirus Rashias. Apparently there was a guy in those times, Rashi says his name was Pirus, and he was a big Rasha. Everyone knew that he was a Rasha. So they would say Pirus Rashia. Amarav Huna Bunya Shari, Parva Aser, Vesimenech, Parva Amgusha. And the way to remember is Parva the Mechashef, that there was a Mechashef in those days named Parva. So that would be the name to the way to remember it. Amrav Papa, Mardu Zagid Va'achil Shari. A bird called a Mardu Zagid Va'achil is Mutter. Zagid Va'achil, but a Mardu Zagid Va'achil is Aser. V'simenech lo sishtach ve'le'elechar, le'elecher. That is a simen of an oaf that's called a Zagid, which means Mishtachave is Aser Va'achila. So lo sishtachave, right? You're not allowed to have the one that's Mishtachave when it eats. Amr Shmuel, Shas Yecharma, if it drinks a bird that's called a Shas Yecharma, a wine drinker, Asira. V'simenayich, Shesui Yayin, Psulun La'avoda. And the simen to remember that is Shesui Yayin, Apostle La'avoda. V'amr Shmuel, Mazga Chamra, a bird called a Mazga Chamra, Asira, you're not allowed to eat. Bas Mazga Chamra Sharia. But a bird called a Bas Mazga Chamra is Mutatit. V'simenayich, and the way to remember it is, Yafa Koach HaBen, Mikoach HaAv. That there is this notion that you have in Dine Halva'a and Yerusha, which we don't have time to get into right now, that sometimes the ben has a greater koach than the koach ha'av. And that's why the bas mazga chamra is the one that's kosher, but the mazga chamra is the one that's not kosher. That's the way to remember it. Okay, we'll go from there tomorrow.